Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. All right, Matthew chapter number 5, we get to the Sermon on the Mount. And this is where Jesus gives the Beatitudes. A lot of modern day preachers like to preach the Beatitudes, but there's something to them. And we're not going to go through all of them, but we're going to look at a few of them here. Now, remember, in the context of this time, Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist. We talked about baptism not too long ago. But Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and his ministry essentially started there. And then from there, he went to the Mount of Temptation. And when he came down from the Mount of Temptation, he preaches in John chapter 5. He gives the Beatitudes. And we'll read through them here. Matthew chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's how far we're going to go today. Let's open with a word of prayer, shall we? Amen. So the Sermon on the Mount takes place shortly after his ministry begins. And here in Matthew chapter number 5, we see a transition taking place. You have the law in the Old Testament. You bring the offering, you sacrifice it, and everything is on the outside. When they go to the priest, it's on the outside. When they offer up a lamb, it's external. Do you follow me on this? Everything that you do toward God is reflected on the outside. Now, there's a lot of things that you can do on the outside that don't reflect what's on the inside. I remember working at the bait camp. I remember somebody came in and they complained about their shrimp. It was the middle of winter. It was January. That's as cold as it ever gets around here, right? It was January, and we didn't have many customers anyway during the winter, but they come in, and I weighed up their shrimp for them. I think I put a little bit of ice on there, and I handed it to him over the counter, and 2 pounds. And he said, I didn't see you weigh that up. You weighed that up without me looking. I didn't have a pure heart. I don't complain when I go to a restaurant or someplace, because I know there's so many things that can be done that you don't know about. And I remember taking those shrimp and taking them to the back. Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. I played like I had just started the day before. I am so sorry, sir. And I took that shrimp to the back and I turned that water on. And we're talking unpeeled shrimp. And those little feet will hold water if you've been around them any. And I washed all that ice off of there. And I got them shrimp soaking wet when I did it. I went back out there, and I weighed up the shrimp in front of him. And when I weighed them up the first time, I'm not proud of this now. But I'm telling you, you can show one thing on the outside and be doing something else on the inside. I weighed those shrimp up so he could see it. Some of that water was dripping off them little legs, and when I weighed it up the first time, I had given him extra because I wasn't paying for the shrimp. It was 2 1/4. You know, you give a generous helping. You just help out the customer. But when I did it this time, I weighed up to 2 pounds. I didn't go up. Matter of fact, I had to accidentally dump the scale because it was weighing too much. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. She's like, it's okay. The woman I work with, she just starts playing right along. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry. You know, you'll get this. You'll get this. And I got a little bit of shrimp here on the ground. He's got his 2 pounds of wet shrimp. And he's thanking me. Oh, it's you're fine, everything. I put the ice in there in front of him, and then I hand it to him, and he buys his 1 3/4 pound of shrimp and goes out the door. So you can show some things on the outside that aren't on the inside. When Jesus comes and he gives the Beatitudes, a lot of these Pharisees and these Sadducees and everybody that was religious, they were showing their love for God on the outside. They were bringing their offering. They would bring their tithes. You remember Jesus standing and watching them give the tithes and, big clunks going in and people making a big fuss about it. And this one little woman comes up and she puts in this one little mite. And he says, she's given more than all of them because she gave out of her substance. They had plenty to give. It was nothing to them, but she just gave all that she had. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter number 5, starts to point to the heart. Because Matthew chapter number 5, when you read later on, he's talking to the Pharisees. He said, except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees. I think it's Matthew 5. That may be a little later. But in Matthew chapter number 5, he says, you have heard it said that whosoever hath committed adultery, it's one of my favorite ones, right? Because it's so easy to remember. Whosoever looketh on a woman, you heard it said that whosoever looketh on a... Now I'm going to have to go read it. You heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery already in his heart. And Jesus is beginning to point them to their heart. And I tell you, in your Christian life, in your Christian walk, you can show a lot of things on the outside. Well, what's the shape of your heart? Now, the Bible tells us there's a lot of wickedness in the heart. There's a lot that can go on in the heart that not everybody knows about. Jeremiah even tells us in 17:9, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yet, throughout the Old Testament, we see examples of how the heart can be prepared and how it can be transformed by God. We saw in Samuel where Saul was given a new heart. King Saul, you remember that? He was given a new spirit. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12, we have Solomon's son, Rehoboam. You know about his wickedness. You know that after he came after Solomon, they said, oh, please, if you would, please, just relieve the burden a little bit. Because your dad, Solomon, he had us under all these taxes and everything. And Rehoboam, he says, no, my little finger is going to be thicker than my father's thigh. In other words, I'm going to put a bigger burden on you. So in 2 Chronicles 12:14, it says, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. There's a purposeful preparing of your heart to seek the Lord. In contrast, when Ezra was going to teach God's law to others, he prepared his heart. In Ezra 7:10, it says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of God and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now, we're not going to be going there, but I think this is going to be a little series going on. Next week, we'll take a look at Ezra and see how him preparing his heart to seek the law of God, how that paid off. Now, you might wonder, how can I change who I am? If the heart is desperately wicked, who can know it? How can I change who I am? You say, I've tried, I've got besetting sins. It's a hard thing to do. I try to get better, but I fall. The truth is, it's not about you changing yourself. You follow me on that? It's not about you changing yourself. God does the changing. But you can't sit around stubborn and expect God will be able to do anything with you. When you prepare your heart, you open yourself up to the changes that God can bring. So here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, we want to look at what kind of heart is Jesus looking for. And we see in verse number 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." So a person who is poor in spirit, they're not poor spirited, but somebody who's honest about their spiritual condition. They recognize their need for God, which is the first step toward true faith in Christ. Somebody that's humble enough, we're looking for an honest heart, or God is looking for an honest heart, first off, to be honest with yourself. You say, "Well, I'm basically good." That's not the heart that God's looking for. You say, "Well, I'm better than those other people." That's not the heart God's looking for. You say, "Well, I can change. I can clean myself up before I come to you." That's not the heart God's looking for. God's looking for an honest heart. A heart that's willing to look at itself. Poor in spirit. Doesn't mean you have to be poor in life. It's not about finances. It's about realizing your need for God. A vessel that is full can't be filled with something else. When you look at the Laodicea church in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 18, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen and faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." They were just kind of lukewarm. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And why were they that way? Why were they weren't working against God, but they weren't working for God. They weren't not worshiping God, but they weren't exactly putting their heart toward God. He said in verse 17, he gives the reason. He said, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." That's not an honest heart. They said, "We got riches. We got the bills paid. We got everything we need. We got a roof over our head. We're set." It's like the man saying, I'll fill my barns to overfill. I'll build me new barns. I got everything I need for retirement." Jesus said, "Thou fool, this night will I require your soul." So what's the solution? In verse 18, he says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." So God's looking for an honest heart, a poor in spirit. Over in Luke chapter 18, we have the greatest example of somebody who doesn't have a humble heart or an honest heart versus the one that does. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Luke 18, verses 10 to 14. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not as other men. They're extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican over here." In verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." You notice something there? Everything he's doing is on the outside. Everybody can, he's starving himself a little, but he's doing it so everybody can see. He said, "I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Check the books. I'm good." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's such a contrast. And he names him as the Pharisee, the one that should be closest to God. And he seems to be close to God when you look at his life, when you look at what he's doing. But he's not honest. On the inside, he's got another game going. But then the publican, he's got nothing of that. He's got none of the gilded cage. He's got nothing for everybody to look at. And he's there, and he's just honest with God. And he's there on his knees before God with his head down, won't even look up. And he said, Lord, please be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the kind of heart that God's looking for. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In Ezra, we see a man who, like those who are poor in spirit, he recognized his spiritual poverty and his need for God's word. And so he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to obey it and to teach others. So we need to cultivate an honest heart. You need to have a heart-to-heart with yourself and say, am I right in this matter? And some of the best revivals I've been in, just being to God, just time alone with the Lord. If you have an honest heart, you'll be willing to look at your own sin, and you'll be able to see it for what it is. And when you do that, it's probably going to give you a heavy heart. Let's look at verse number 4. It said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. A heart that mourns over sin is a heart that will confess and find the comfort and forgiveness of God. Look over in 2 Kings, if you will. Stay in Matthew chapter 5. But look over in 2 Kings. It's one of my favorite. Because Josiah had a revival. The people had a revival under Josiah. He was 8 years old when he sought the Lord. Verse number 2, it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And he tore down altars, and he had the temple cleaned out. All of the false idols and all the things that had nothing to do with God. He had the priest go in there and clean it out and took up offerings to repair it and put it back to the way it should be. And when they did that, the priest, in cleaning up, gets in one of the back rooms and finds a scroll of the law. Now, Josiah only knew what he knew, but they didn't have the book of the law. They didn't have the book of Moses. They didn't have all that they were supposed to be doing. And it had been years since anybody had done it. So when it's brought out, look at verse number 11. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And look at verse 13, his reaction. He tore his clothes. He was torn up. He had a heavy heart about it. In verse number 13, he says, go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which was written unto us. So he, in spite of all the good that he was doing, in spite of all that was being put into the temple, when he sees the book of the law, he realizes his own sin. He realizes the sin of the people. 2 Kings chapter 22. Did I say that? I saw a bunch of confused looks. I got Dee Dee over there flipping pages angrily. You're just supposed to know where Josiah is. 2 Kings chapter 22. I'll catch you up. We'll look at verse number 2. It says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. So he institutes reforms and things like that. And then you get down to verse number 11. Look at verse number 8, since we're doing this. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And then they read it to the king. And then you get to verse 11, and we see the king's reaction. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. He repented. And he commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achor, the son of Micah. But verse 13, go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our father hath not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which was written concerning us. You know, everything can seem right with your relationship with the Lord. You get to reading in the Bible, and the Bible will hold up a mirror to you. And it's like, man, I'm missing this. You know, the most self-righteous people you'll see are the ones who don't get in their Bible. The ones who think they got this Christian walk all figured out are the ones that won't get in their Bible. Because you get in that Bible, it shows you a little different. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's fallen, that there's nobody good. I mean, the Bible does say there's none that doeth good. No, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, that all our righteousness is filthy rags. But, you know, I'm not saying that you're all bad. But when you begin to look in the Bible, you begin to see how you really look in God's eyes. And it convicts you. And Josiah gets convicted here. And he tears his clothes. And he fears for the wrath of God. He hadn't done anything. It was his fathers that did it. The kings that came before him that were worshiping the idols. He was seeking God from the time he was 8 years old. And he did that which was right in the sight of God. But when he reads God's word, he has an honest heart about it. And he said, took a look at himself, and he said, we've been missing out. We haven't been doing what God said to do. We haven't been doing the sacrifices. We hadn't been doing the offerings. We hadn't been allowing the land to go fallow. We haven't been keeping the year of Jubilee. We haven't been doing any of this. And God's wrath is upon us, just as he pronounced. And so it says to go and inquire of the Lord. And look what happens in verse 15. Now that we're all in the same chapter. And she said unto them, they go to inquire of a prophetess. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. God said, I'm not going to back off from doing it. It's going to happen. There's a payday coming. Verse 17, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Verse 18, remember his heart, an honest heart. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, is touching the words which thou hast heard. Verse 19, this is it. He said, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. God hears the humble heart and the heavy heart. He said, behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. It's a good couple chapters, because there's a whole revival that takes place. There's joy in returning to the Lord. So an honest heart leads to a heavy heart. In Nehemiah, which is one we may be looking at. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. In the book of Nehemiah chapter number 1, Nehemiah inquires about Jerusalem. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, verse number 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left, he asked about Jerusalem. And they give him the answer, verse number 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And his reaction, verse number 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them. He says, let thine ear be now attentive. In verse number 7, we have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments nor the statutes. Here's his honest heart. He doesn't point the finger at them. He realizes it's all of them. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Verse 8, remember, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of heaven, yet I will gather them from me from thence. So Nehemiah's heart was heavy when he heard of Jerusalem's desolation, and his mourning led him to take action. And he goes before the king, and the king gives him permission, and not only gives him permission, but gives him all the provisions that he needs in order to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild the walls, replace the gates that have been burned down. His burden for the sins and suffering of his people moved him to lead the rebuilding of Jerusalem's wall. Now remember, God said, because you humbled yourself before me. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 5. You don't have to, but yeah. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 5, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. A meekness is not weakness, it's strength under control. It's a heart that's submissive to God's will. Did you follow me on that? I kind of threw it out there. Meekness is not weakness. It's strength under control. The meek aren't meek just because they're weak. I think I like that more than you guys. All right. So there we see Josiah humbling his heart, humbling himself before God. We see in Daniel, we see Daniel's example. He exemplified the humility throughout his life, from his refusal to eat the king's food to his prayerful defiance of the king's decree. And his humble heart allowed him to stand firm in his faith, trusting God even when facing the lion's den. And we'll be looking at Daniel in this series. And just looking at the different types of hearts. In verse number 6, Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. A heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness continually seeks to align to God's will. A heart that seeks after righteousness, it seeks after whose righteousness? Your own? Seeking after God's righteousness through Jesus Christ. We should want to please God by doing what's right. We should hunger and thirst for the things of God in his word and apply them to our lives. And as you do, you become satisfied, and then you will hunger for more and thirst. Look at John chapter 4. In the book of John, in another part, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He compared himself to the manna in the wilderness which fed him. And here in John chapter 4, he compares himself to water. In John chapter number 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And she comes up and Jesus answered, Verse number 9, the woman then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She said, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And look at this. Here's her hungering and thirsting. She says, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And then later he talks about the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit flows out of Jesus Christ and into our lives. We have access to it. We don't ever have to thirst. It becomes a well of water springing up from inside of us. And it opens up God's word to us. It leads us in the right path. The Holy Spirit gives us fellowship with God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three in one, all God. So, looking at the series coming up, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel all had hearts that hungered for God's righteousness. They sought God's will above all else, leading to spiritual revivals in each of their stories. Their stories demonstrate the fulfillment that comes from pursuing God with a sincere and a desperate heart, a humble heart, an honest heart, a hungry heart. As we move through the series, you can ask yourself about your own heart. Are you hungering for God's word? Are you desiring to know more? Your heart may not always feel like it's in the right place. You may not feel the motivation to pursue God's will. But you can set your heart toward God. One of the hardest things for me to learn, that motivation doesn't always have to be there, but that footstep does. I got a saying, if you set your feet right, God will set your heart right. And that didn't come from the Bible, that just comes from experience. Those times when I have stepped out, and I said, well, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to step out because I know this is what God wants me to do. My heart doesn't lean this way. But as you do, as you begin to walk in the footsteps that God leads, He'll change your heart. Brother Grady used to say, He'll change your want to. Change it from the inside. You go to witness to someone, you don't feel like it. As you witness to them and you see their lives transformed just by giving them the words of God, nothing you did because you were having a bad day, but you begin to tell them about God and begin to tell them about how He died on the cross for their sins, and you see their life begin to transform in front of you, your heart will get right. It'll follow behind. So what we want to do is learn how to prepare our heart in the coming days. But if you'll stand...